In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the reading for this morning from St. Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 15. This is an extremely rich text and is usually assigned in the expositions of our synodical catechisms to the so-called steps of excommunication. And having taught confirmation class for so many years, I think I can almost recite the pages from at least the old blue version of the catechism to you this morning. I will spare you that. Probably too much in this text this morning. And as a result, I'm going to pick just the section of the text that speaks about binding and loosing, and then the comment, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I'm probably breaking some homiletical rule by doing that, but I'm going to do it anyhow, because I'm here and you're there. This text, particularly the two or three are gathered in my name, is a rather interesting one, and you will find it used quite often in worship material prepared by Protestant denominations. And it is usually quoted as a text to prove that informality is the order of the day, and that if two or three gather in the name of the Lord, and they sing a hymn or two, and speak nice words, and even read the Bible, there Christ is in the midst of them. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Well, now that's probably a true statement, that the Lord is there where his word is. I'm not going to argue that point. But that is not what the text is talking about. The text is talking about something quite different. It's talking about the whole matter of binding and loosing sins, and it connects the believers, two or three gathered in the name of the Lord, to that binding and loosing quality. Now, granted, in the large catechism preface, even Martin Luther, as he says, I need to read the catechism every day, and I read the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer and the Creed and the Psalms, and then he says, for there where two or three are gathered in the name of the Lord, Christ is there. So even he uses it in this rather extended way. But the confessions of our church are rather clear in linking this entire pericope, including the one just quoted, to the office of the keys, absolution, and the office of the public ministry. That's the locus. That's the place. That's where it is seated in that context. And if you don't believe that, then look at the words that follow where Peter says, well, now how often do I have to forgive? He caught it, and he knew that this was not just some general statement about Christ's general presence with his people. He linked it to forgiveness just as we must. So indeed, the church as the body of Christ, as the Lord's body in this world, as the people gathered in his name, as they act in his name and by his command to bind and loose sins, this is the Lord acting. It is his action to bind. It is his action to loose. And he is using his people. He is using the church. He is using the holy office of the ministry as the spokesman in his mouth to speak these words in his behalf. Your sins are bound against you. Your sins are forgiven. And please note, this is as valid and certain as if Christ our Lord said them himself, says this catechism. And here the text says, it is bound in heaven. It is bound in heaven. Well, of course, we say, that's right, that's right. There's great church power here. Indeed, there is a great church power. But this is no child's play. This is difficult, hard stuff. For when it talks about binding sin, it's also talking to us. For who are the sinners who commit the sin? Why, it's the folks sitting here and standing in front of you. We are the ones who are the sinners, and the sin is either loosed or bound. Either we repent. And that does not mean, oh, I feel very bad for what I've done. It means change your ways. Unless we repent, there will be binding of our sin, and it is bound in heaven against us. Now, we tend, when we talk sin language, to be quite general about it. And we feel quite, shall we say, comfortable about talking and speaking generally about sin. And it is so easy to acknowledge, oh yes, we're sinners, yeah. Okay, preacher, get beyond that. But stop and think what the text is saying at this point. Sin, unrepentant, is bound against you in heaven. In heaven. Not just here, not just now, but in heaven it is bound against you. And this is an awesome and terrible thought, that all of our sins, unrepentant, are bound against us. Well, if we stop there, that's a crushing load to bear. But whoever sins are forgiven and loosed, they are loosed in heaven also. So that there is this dual quality in the office of the keys. A key can lock, a key can open. And a key can open, it can unloose us from our sin. That sin that damns us, that sin that is bound against us in heaven. And that possibility, that reality of the loosing quality of this office of the keys is possible and a reality because of what Christ has done for us. You know it. I know it. And you say to yourself, oh yeah, here comes the gospel section. Yeah, you're right. Here comes the gospel section. Because that's what makes it a reality. The Lord has already accomplished it for you. It's done. It's completed. It's over. It's past. He did it when he suffered and died on a cross, and he makes it ever present anew to you through the announcement of his word, through his body and blood celebrated in the sacrament, through the absolution pronounced to you. This is real. This is not make-believe. This is real. And it is the loosing of your sin, not just here and now, but unloosed in heaven itself. That's a wonderful comfort. That's a wonderful gift. The weight is taken away. The sins are gone. They are loosed from us because of what the Lord has done for us. And because we firmly believe that wonderful promise that he has granted to us, that faith which simply accepts the reality of the forgiveness that we have received. Your sins are bound in heaven if you do not repent. Your sins are forgiven and loosed if you do repent in heaven themselves. And where two or three are gathered in the name of the Lord, where his church is alive and active, speaking that word, it is happening. And it is happening in the very hearing this morning. Yes, our sins are forgiven. And we stand as redeemed new people before the Lord. We stand as his loosened people. The key has worked. We are forgiven. May the Lord keep us in that strength and power. In his name we pray. Amen.